Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the assigned reading for the day, which you have just heard. My dear fellow redeemed, we are into a 19th week of Pentecost. The theme, as you find it on the front page of your worship folder, reads, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also." Yesterday we heard Dr. Carter apply those words from the Gospel of John to service, meaningful, fruitful ministry, in which those who minister love one another. Today we find the text from the first letter of John to congregations in Asia Minor and to us. When one looks at this text, there's a great temptation either to play it safe, to look at it as an easy text, or to just stand in awe of the text and to simply get up, read the text, say amen, and sit down. However, there's some depth to be plumbed here and some applications to be made for all of us. We who center our doctrine in justification so often fail to look at what I like to call the great therefore passages of Scripture. The therefore, now that you are justified, therefore, what are the consequences? The whoever passages, the hereby passages, the hence passages. Consequences that say, just as sure as the one is there, the other must also be there. Saying that where there is justification, there must needs be sanctification because it automatically flows therefrom. Love, you see, is like a precious, many-faceted gem. And one can approach it from many ways and look at its many facets. I propose this morning to look at three. It is patterned after and flows from the love of God in Christ. It distinguishes the believer from the world, and it gives us the assurance that we are the children of God. There's a real need to understand the extent of God's love. But in order to do that, there's also a real need to understand the depth of our worthlessness and our depravity. We were lawless. We were useless to God. We were deserving only, as we say in the common confession, of temporal and eternal punishment. And we must admit, no matter what our age, we are only one breath away from death at any time. And without our Lord and Savior, that one breath away from death also would mean one breath away from the consequence of our sin. Without Christ, eternal tragedy is all that we could ever look forward to. But thanks be to God that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. My dear friends, Paul was not playing a game. He wasn't just having false humility when he called himself the chief of sinners. And I would dare say that each one of us, if we have taken the time in the darkness of night, in the loneliness of a bed, sat and contemplated our life, have not fallen on our knees equally well and have said, we also are chief of sinners. But you see, our dear Lord Jesus Christ did come into this world, and he led that perfect life that was expected of us. And that is why he is love. Love is the fulfilling of the law, and he did that for us. His righteousness is accounted to us. And he's love in another respect. He came and died. He took on himself our rottenness. You add it up. Our rottenness, he took it upon himself to the cross. Died there in our stead. And our text says, this is love, that a man lay down his life for his brother. And he did this. He literally laid down his life for us. And our text doesn't pussyfoot around, does it? It says, in like manner, we ought lay down our lives for the brethren. The focus of our life should be outward, not inward. We invest our lives in others as he totally invested his life for us. I pose a question to you. Can we say that we understand God's love if we do not understand our need to love? John presents the idea of a loving God, and that our loving God is impossible if we do not love the brother. Later on in the same letter, he says, those of you who say you love God and love not the brother, you're lying. How can you love God whom you have not seen when you do not love the brother whom you have seen? So flowing out of that faith that we have in a loving Savior who gave himself for us, he laid down his life for us. Flowing out of that is our love to the brother. It is a relationship that we have with our God and a mutual relationship that we have with each other. But it's because of this relationship which becomes evident in our love for the brother that John says, don't expect the world to then stand around and applaud you. The world will hate you. He uses the example of Abel and Cain. Abel, who pleased God and led that righteous life of loving, and Cain, who could not stand in the presence of that righteousness and therefore slew the brother. The world hates because of that very love that we show. For by the very contrast, you see, when they see our love, by contrast, they see their wickedness. John leaves no middle ground. John, Scripture, our God says, not to love is to hate. It is a cop-out, my dear friends, that we often hear that God commands us to love our brother, but you don't have to like him. That's a cop-out. How would you like God's love under those conditions? That a God who loves you but doesn't like you. It's very easy to slip, you see, into thinking in the ways of the world. that we don't have to give, we don't have to go out of our way for the brother. It's a warning not to let our love for the brother slip. Because if it slips, where there is no love, there is hate. And Scripture sees this love relationship not in terms of hating, but in terms of outgoing for the brother. Scripture talks repeatedly in terms of how we treat the brother. When that slips and we no longer love the brother, and we hate instead, Scripture also tells us how to recover from that. It has to do with repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation. It has to do with reaching out to the brother. Stuckart, in his lectures on the three letters of John, goes this far to say of how we deal with the brother and what the consequences are. Stuckart reads, "Therefore, we also treat those who stubbornly refuse reconciliation with their brother as people who live in a mortal sin and who eventually must be excommunicated." It is by our love, my dear friends, that we distinguish ourselves from the unbelieving world. It is by our love that reaches out even to the erring brother that distinguishes ourselves from a vengeful, vindictive world. But finally, in this contrast to the behavior of the world, even though it produces effects toward us, it should have a positive effect on us. By regeneration, we have been born again. We have new life that can live in love. Our text says it negatively first by saying anyone who does not love his brother is not a child of God. The converse obviously being the one who loves his brother is of God. But more positively, and get the comfort in this, more positively, our text reads, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. We've been born again in our baptism by faith through the Holy Spirit. Which one of us have not at times doubted? Am I really among the called of God? Is my faith genuine? Our text at least gives us one way for assurance. Here. Love is evidence. It is comfort. When I see myself loving the brother, bearing those fruits of faith, our text says that is the assurance for us that we have passed from death to life. My dear Christian friends, this is not intended as an Earl Nightingale, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps kind of sermon. Rather, it's our loving God encouraging us by His Holy Spirit to love even as we are loved. It is love that flows out of a faith which is engendered by the Spirit through word and sacrament. We are urged to keep ourselves close to word and sacrament, that that same Spirit who has brought us to faith also gives us that sanctified life that we love the brother. We love each other. Let it be our prayer this morning for each other that we have the comfort of God's gospel and His word, that we have passed from death to life because we love the brother. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.